have a favorite Wisconsin author, past or present? Who is it? We want to know, as we are going to celebrate Wisconsin authors and books this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We are going to talk with the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries, from Laura Ingalls Wilder to Ayad Akhtar. We'll talk about these men and women who called Wisconsin home at some point, some still do, and how their work enlightens and entertains us. What Wisconsin author have you enjoyed the most? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Jim Higgins. He's the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. He is the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
It's nice to have you back. We talked to you about a month or so ago about summer reads, books that we want to put on our summer reading list, and we thought we should put this book on our summer reading list, so we did. So how did you narrow down all of Wisconsin authors, how did you narrow it down to just 10, the 10 that you focus on in the book?
Joy, that's a good question. When the publisher approached me about this book, they gave me a sense of the size they wanted. It's about 40,000 words, and I did the math, and I figured out that I could write meaningfully about 10 people in a book of that size. And so I made a lot of, and this is a book for general readers, for people like you and I, not necessarily scholars. So I kept making lists and going through them and thinking about how they fit together, and I imagine this book kind of like a table in your favorite bookstore or library, where you go there and a librarian has put out a table of things that you might want to read right now. And that's kind of my vision of what the list is. It has some people we'd consider, you know, not just Wisconsin classics, but American classics. And it has some contemporary writers. And then it has a couple that I want to make a case that people should read more widely. And as I noted in my introduction, I would cheerfully say that other people could have come up with a different list. You know, I'm not going to pretend it's the canonical 10. You know, other people would have a different kind of list.
Yeah, and it's working, because I had the book out, and my husband picked up your book and was reading it. And I said, oh, good, you're doing my research for me. And then he, all of a sudden, I saw that a Sand County Almanac was out of the bookshelves, and so was a book by Michael Perry. And you reminded him that these are books that he's been meaning to read. We've had them. I had read them, and he wants to. So there we go. It's encouraging people to pick up a book by a Wisconsin author.
What makes this fun for me to talk about this book is I'm not talking about myself. I'm sharing my enthusiasm for other books. And that makes it possible for me to just stand up and get very excited about it without feeling very egocentric.
Yeah. So I guess in general, what do you wish readers knew about Wisconsin's literary scene?
Well, I guess what comes to mind first is there is no one literary scene for us. I mean, we're a big enough state that almost any statement we might make that says this is a Wisconsin book, there'll be one that'll contradict. You know, we might tend to think outdoors and nature, but then we get very urbane writers like Thornton Wilder. So there's no one statement that fits all. Having said that, I think many of the folks here have a really strong love and compelling interest in the natural world around them. And that is part of the heritage of our state. You mentioned both Michael Perry and Aldo Leopold, and it's a big part of what both of them do, the human interaction with the natural world around them.
Yeah. Well, I know, and I don't think I'm unique in that it was about fourth grade or so that we were assigned in grade school And we were reading Laura Ingalls Wilder. She was a part of our curriculum, at least at Richmond Elementary School in Appleton, she was. And so that's how I was first exposed to Laura Ingalls Wilder. She was born in Wisconsin in 1867. And in the Pepin area, I believe.
Yes.
So how did her writing career come about?
Well, that's a great story, and it's hope for all of us who are late blooming writers. Just stop for a minute and think. Her first book was published when she was 65 years old.
That is amazing.
She'd already had. I would say, given what lives were like back then, she'd already had two lives between the time that book was published. Along with her career as a farmer, and Laura had been a writer for a long time, had written many kinds of articles for farm journals and other publications. Her first article was for a farmer's publication on raising a certain kind of hen. So she had writing experience. She had written an autobiography that didn't get published, and her daughter, Rose, who was a professional writer, helped her pull out a children's book out of it. And after some back and forth with an editor, that's the book that became Little House in the Big Woods. And I think Laura found her calling writing stories, stories for children about how people grew up in the pioneer days. Now, in certain ways, they're very idealized stories, but that was the attraction for all of us. And I have to say that my daughter, who's 22 now, also read Little House in school and had a Laura Ingalls day where she had to dress up like one of Laura's friends or sisters. So it's still part of the legacy of Wisconsin children to read her work.
Yeah, I missed out on the dress-up day, but but so it was Little House in the Big Woods that was the book about Wisconsin.
Yes, and it really sets the tone for what people think about Wisconsin, because there's this magical opening about how it's just woods and animals and the little Ingalls family living in there together. And we know from scholarly research that the Ingalls interacted with other people. There was more of a community feeling than the book would give you. But Laura wanted to tell the story that was almost like a little fable, a little nuclear family fable out in the woods. But yes, that's her one book in Wisconsin. And anyone who's interested in that may want to look for Pioneer Girl, which is the annotated version of Laura's autobiography that really explores the differences between Laura's real life and the story that she told in Little House in the Big Woods.
I'll look that up. But Lana on Facebook says, I live in Wisconsin now, but I grew up in Missouri, where they, too, claim Laura Ingalls Wilder. She loved her Ozark home and did most of her writing there. And that very well could be. She was born here and then moved around with Ma and Pa, right?
Right. And we can credit Pa for a lot of that, because he had the restless spirit that kept him moving. And yes, Laura, Missouri does claim Laura as the South Dakota and in other states. And I guess all we can say is we had her first.
Yeah, that's right. She was born here. And I saw a replica of her little log cabin, the little house in the Big Woods, and when I had a trip a year or two ago to the Pepin area, and that is just amazing. It's just so tiny, and they had that family living in that little tiny log cabin. So we have another listener, Sharon, on Facebook, who says her favorite author is Jennifer Chivarini. I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce that right.
Yes. Jennifer is a Madison historical novelist who wrote a big series that are quilting based, and then she's made a move into historical novels, including one a terrific novel about Elizabeth Keckley, who was Mrs. Lincoln's dressmaker. She was a free African American woman and a dressmaker, and really became the kind of a helper to the Lincoln family. Yeah, Jennifer lives in the Madison area, and she'd actually Not that you need my hints. She'd be a great guest for your show. Her specialty is women's stories in American history.
I believe that we have had her on once, but she's with Larry Mueller, I think, quite frequently mm-hmm. when she has a new book. She writes historical novels, Sharon says. The Elm Creek Quilts series is one of them. There are 6 collections of quilt patterns inspired by her books. So it goes beyond the written word there. We are talking with Jim Higgins, assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He is the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries, and we are talking about these literary luminaries during this hour, and we're welcoming your favorite Wisconsin authors at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network.
I like to go out dancing. My baby loves a bunch of authors. My heart's a broken bleeding. The
baby's just sitting there
doing some reading.
Well, we are talking about doing some reading of Wisconsin authors and their works. And we're wondering if you have a favorite Wisconsin author or if you'd like to recommend one. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries, from Laura Ingalls Wilder to Ayad Akhtar. Jim Higgins is our guest. He is also the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked before break about Laura Ingalls Wilder. Now let's talk about Ayad Akhtar, Jim. I'm very familiar with Laura Ingalls Wilder and less so with Ayad. Tell us about him.
Sure. Ayad is a Brookfield Central High School grad who has gone on to be one of America's most produced living playwrights. His play, Disgraced, won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama a couple of years ago. It's been, he's had dozens of productions around the country. And it really has two main subjects. One is Muslim Americans and the kind of uneasy relationship some of his generation, and he says around 40, have with both their original tradition and American life. And the second and fascinating one is capitalism. And Ayad is really something of a scholar on junk bonds, American economy, capitalist maneuvers, and he really writes about both these things in some very gripping and intense plays. There's probably a production of Disgraced, or one of his other plays, within driving distance of most of our readers this coming year.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to look for that, because I'm not as familiar. And that was one of the reasons you picked some of the authors you did, right, Jim?
Yes, although he's pretty, I'm fairly connected to the theater community here, so he's pretty well known here. But yeah, my goal really in this book is I hope people will pick it up to read about an author they know and find out about one they don't know.
Yeah. So certainly, a writer that I was obviously very familiar with, another pillar of the natural world, so to speak, Aldo Leopold and his A Sand County Almanac. Again, this was a book that was read in school, so the Wisconsin schools are doing a good job, getting us to read some of these, or they were anyway. This was published a year after his death in 1949. How did his life lead him to write?
That's a great subject. Aldo started out as a forester. He was a youth that loved birds. He loved hunting, loved being outside. But he had a great classical education and was always a writer from early on. And his writing kind of grew out of reports and little essays. And he was the staff member who always did the newsletter. And it kind of grew in scope and ambition. And he had been encouraged to put together a book of his essays and worked on it among the many other things he did, including his time as a public servant for UW. I also had some disagreements with a potential publisher who wanted more of the book's early lyrical being in nature essays and wasn't as interested in the more prophetic essays about humans destroying the wilderness. And so Oxford University Press really became the place that got in line with his vision. And his story as a writer is really about growing. It just as his ideas grew and going from very simple natural lyrical writing to very complex philosophical ideas, and really in a sense prophecy. You know, his main message is we need to leave some parts of the world wild or we're all going to suffer.
Chris on Facebook says the city of Lodi does a reading of a Sand County almanac every year on Aldo Leopold's birthday. You sign up, you get to read a paragraph. An advanced culture, he writes.
The Aldo Leopold Foundation encourages that during Aldo Week, that they encourage that kind of activity all around the state. And there's a similar program in Iowa where Aldo was born.
We are talking with Jim Higgins, who is the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. He is the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries. These are Wisconsin authors, authors who called Wisconsin home, at least at one point or another. We're welcoming your questions for him. We're welcoming your favorite Wisconsin authors at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, next up in the book is Thornton Wilder, who is probably the most decorated writer ever born in Wisconsin so far. Those partial to his work say he's underrated and possibly even neglected. Why is that?
Well, one of the fellows who made that point was saying, you know, that he's not at their highest level college curriculum. People aren't spending a lot of time on Thornton Wilder. If I'm going to offer an idea for that, I think it's because people who are primarily playwrights are tricky to grapple with in the academic world because their work's not finished till it's seen. You know, I think only one of Thornton's novels is really surviving at a high level now. It's his work as a playwright that matters most. And he goes contrary to the intense realism or naturalism of a lot of other drama. He's taken a more philosophical and sometimes abstract direction, and not everyone knows what to do with that direction.
Yeah. Mary on Facebook says her favorite Wisconsin writer is Loreen Nydecker, a Wisconsin poet who did some groundbreaking work in the 30s. For those who may not be familiar with her, can you tell us about her work?
Certainly. And Loreen is one of mine, too, and in the book. She grew up in the Fort Atkinson area, in a little part of Fort Atkinson called Black Hawk Island, which is really a peninsula, and spent nearly her whole life there. She was a poet. Some of her work is extremely surreal and challenging, and some is as straightforward as haiku, and those are probably the ones that people remember today. For a number of reasons, her life was challenging. There were two challenging parents who became ill that she spent a lot of time taking care of, and a few other decisions that kind of kept her grounded in Fort Atkinson. And in those pre-internet days, you know, her life was somewhat isolated from the mainstream of American writing. Not like today, where you could live anywhere and through internet connections be connected to writers everywhere. She depended on letters. But she wrote these unsentimental, tough-minded, lyrical poems often with a twist or humor or barb in them. And if you want a sample, if you're driving down one of the main streets of Fort Atkinson, the beginning of one of her poems is lettered on the outside of a wall of a commercial building. So you can get a taste of her verse just by driving through downtown Fort Atkinson.
Really? So what, I want to stop and read this. What, do you know what building it is?
It's Fish, Fowl, Flood, Water, Lilies, Mud, My Life.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I think I mispronounced her last name. It's Niedecker?
I believe it's Niedecker. I've heard it more than one way. So, and in fact, Margot Peters, in her biography of Lorene, talks about the complications of the family name and the different spellings people use.
1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Well, speaking of Fort Atkinson, we have Beth in Fort Atkinson with us. Hi, Beth.
Hi. Yes, it's nice to have Fort Atkinson highlighted. I'm talking about another writer from Fort Atkinson. Her name was Georgiana Ann Randolph Craig, but she wrote under the name of Craig Rice. She was born in 1908, and she wrote just dozens of kind of wacky detective novels. She was kind of known as the Dorothy Parker of detective fiction. She was most prolific in the 30s and 40s and had movies adapted from her book. She was on the cover of Time magazine. So, and not many people remember her, but I'm trying to change that, and we're having a viewing in Fort Atkinson of one of her most popular books, Home Sweet Homicide, was made into a film in the 40s, and we're doing a public viewing in Fort to remember this long past writer of ours.
That's good. So when is that going to be?
July 25th at the local library. She was no Lorene Niedecker. She was kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, kind of a wacky, crazy writer. But she was funny, and her plots are very intricate and kind of alcohol imbued. She had an alcohol problem in her own life. But they were of their time and pretty entertaining.
Sounds good, Beth. Thanks for sharing that. And it's interesting that she had to write under a pseudonym. Maybe I shouldn't say had to, but Jim, I'm taking it that instead of Georgiana, she said she was Craig Rice because that was more typical at the time.
Often the case, or unfortunately, some people didn't give female writers credibility on certain kinds of books. But that was a great tip, and the Dwight Foster Library in Fort Atkinson is a really excellent library. So that'd be a great place to get involved in learning about a new writer.
You know, by the way, our guest after 8 o'clock is an author, and he lives now in Fort Atkinson. So we have another Fort Atkinson author. Mark O'Connell is his name. He is actually a screenwriter and a blogger. He does a lot about space. He has written episodes for Star Trek, The Next Generation, and Deep Space Nine. And the book that we're going to be talking to him about is a book about a man who is considered the man who made the world believe in UFOs. This is we're going to talk to Mark about the Close Encounters Man coming up after 8 o'clock. So just an aside that he's also from Fort Atkinson as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, let's go next to Mike in Castle Rock. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. I don't remember much about this author. I've got a couple of books, but I can only find one. It's Glenn Wayne Westcott.
And what kind of stuff does he write?
Well, literary criticism, and he wrote a book on Gertrude Stein, and I think he was part of the Lost Generation. But he lived up here, and I wondered if that was mentioned.
Glenn Wayne Westcott's not in the book, Jim.
No, Glenn Wayne Westcott is part of the Lost Generation and part of the literati of the Hemingway Gertrude Stein era. He's not in my book, but there's a lot. It's a small book, so yeah. Plenty of worthy writers that aren't in it.
Yeah, you you included Milwaukee writers Cord Wainer Smith and Ellen Raskin. Tell us more about them and what do they
write? I'd be happy to. Those are two of my my special lobbying efforts. Ellen Raskin, first, many of your listeners will know her as the author of The Westing Game, which is we'd call it now a middle grade mystery, but it's a very complex mystery novel with a eccentric billionaire based partly on Howard Hughes and partly on Herbert Kohler, the former owner of the Kohler Company. And he sets off 16 possible heirs on a big chase for his fortune. And many other things go on in the book, but it's an enduringly popular book whose fans include Gillian Flynn, the author of Gone Girl, and Neil Patrick Harris, two of the biggest fans of it. But Ellen started out as an illustrator of a book cover illustrator. She did the original cover of A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle.
Okay.
And then moved into picture books and then wrote four really unusual novels for preteens. And The Westing Game is one that endures today. Cord Wainer Smith was born Paul Myron Larnberger. And his day job was as a consultant to the Pentagon on psychological operations and as a professor at Johns Hopkins. But he wrote this fascinating science fiction under the name of Cord Wainer Smith with a very intense imagined future history. It's kind of like I would compare it to a really cranked up Ray Bradbury. And he has a whole mythology on animals that have been lifted to human intelligence but are treated like slaves. And a lot of the stories in these books are about the movement to free these sentient animals. And some people see echoes of the civil rights movement in those stories, and other people point to the fact that Smith spent a lot of time in China as a boy and saw a comparison between the way regular Chinese people were treated and these animals. But he's a great stylist. Every time I talk about my book, there's usually one person in the room who knows who he is, and that's a science fiction reader who goes back a little ways like I do. And writers, contemporary writers, know who he is. Just a lot of regular folks don't. So he's my special lobbying case in this book.
Yeah, Larry Watson is among the authors in the book. What is Larry Watson known for?
Larry Watson's signature book is Montana 1948, which, like Little House in the Big Woods, many people first discover in school now. It's really a tale about told by a son about his father, a small-town sheriff, who has to decide between loyalty to his brother, who's in trouble, or doing his duty as a sheriff. And I think that story of family versus justice is one we can all relate to. Larry's taught for many years at Stevens Point and now at Marquette, and most of his novels are set in the Plain States. He has one set in Door County called Orchard, and that's the dirtiest novel I wrote about in my book.
Wait, what's the name of it? Orchard?
Orchard. And it's a fascinating story about an artist who paints women and then seduces them. And he finally meets a woman who's such a brilliant model, he desires her, but won't mess with his art. It's his own conflict between what he must do for art and what he does for lust.
Well, there we go. A racy novel there. Larry Watson. We will talk about some more Wisconsin literary luminaries after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wearing just my heart and my soul. All dressed up, no place to go. Home sweet home, here comes the sun. Bless this house, I've come undone.
That's the song Undone by Michael Perry and the Long Beds. Michael Perry, who is also an author and a humorist, is among the 10 authors in Wisconsin Literary Luminaries, the book by our guest, Jim Higgins, the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So let's talk a little bit about Michael Perry. Funny stuff, huh? Jim? Oops, I don't know. I'm sorry. Now we have you. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Michael Perry is a pretty remarkable writer, and I'm sure he's very familiar to your audience. What I like about Michael Perry, beyond his amazing facility for readable sentences, is just simply that he's a guy embedded in the world that he writes about. There are humorists who maybe have left a rural community and kind of look back on it either nostalgically or ironically. But Michael still lives there and writes about that world from the inside. And he sometimes has fun with his own sort of double consciousness of being both a serious writer and a rural guy. But there's always a warmth, I think, for the people that he's writing about, even when he's satirizing them a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. What was it, Population 485? Was that his first book?
Population, yes. And it kind of explicitly compared to Thornton Wilder's Our Town because the thing that raises Michael's first book to me above the other ones, as good as they are, is the life and death nature of it. You know, Population opens and ends with the deaths of young women on the highway. And Michael, as an EMT, is called to the scenes. And even as we're going about our everyday moments and ups and downs, you know, death can come at any moment. And the world around us, you know, is filled with really ghosts of people that used to be here. And I think Michael does an amazing job of capturing that in that book, capturing the fragility of life.
Yeah, Michael is also, at least I think he still is, a columnist for the Wisconsin State Journal, and he is the host or MC of 10 Show Radio, which airs on Wisconsin Public Radio. So he's a Renaissance man, and I think he is a pig farmer or a chicken farmer too or something.
Yes, he has often said that, you know, writing is his main job, farming he does on the side, but he's certainly assiduous about it. And he's the rare example of a full-time, non-academic, professional American writer. And that's a species that I really love, as rare as they are.
Yeah. Let's take a call now. We'll go to Doug in Mason. Hi, Doug.
Hi, good morning, Joy and Jim. Yeah, you
good
guys.
Good morning.
This is actually too early for me, so I'll try.
Oh my gosh! Oh, we lost him. I'm sorry. His line dropped, and I'll ask Brianne Chasso to pass along the name of the author that he was going to recommend, because I don't know what it was. We do have an open line for you if you would like to talk about a favorite Wisconsin author or an author who has ties to Wisconsin or has written about Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Jim Higgins, who is the assistant entertainment editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he writes about books and the performing arts. He is the author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries, from Laura Ingalls Wilder to Ayad Akhtar. And we are talking about the authors that he focuses on in the book, just 10, but there are many more, we know, so you can ask about the ones we're talking about or maybe add one of your own. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. We have talked so far about Laura Ingalls Wilder, Aldo Leopold, Thornton Wilder, Loreen Niedecker, Cord Wainer Smith, Ellen Raskin, Larry Watson, Michael Perry, and Ayad Akhtar. One more, Jane Hamilton. Sure, Jane Hamilton has authored a number of books, including I know, I remember the excellent Lombards and the Book of Ruth, and we have had her on as a guest on various Wisconsin Public Radio shows as well. What should listeners know about Jane Hamilton, Jim?
Well, Jane is a terrific writer, and if you ever get the chance to see or hear her in person, a very droll, very funny person. And it's sermon I'd go on my day off to go see. Jane grew up in the Oak Park, Illinois area, and was all set to head to New York to work in magazines, but met a guy whose family owned an apple orchard in southern Wisconsin, married him, and became, as she says somewhat jokingly, a farmer's wife. And her first two novels, The Map of the World and The Book of Ruth, were both Oprah's book club selections in the original Oprah's book club, you know, that made people instant bestsellers. And as she said, those made it possible. Getting struck by Oprah's lightning made it possible for her not to have a day job, but to write. And if you only knew those two books, you'd think, wow, this is this serious, very brooding novelist. Then those books are serious. But she's taken a very strong comic turn in her more recent novels. And The Excellent Lombards is a novel about a girl growing up on the farm. I compare it a bit to To Kill a Mockingbird, without the courtroom drama, but just the point of view of a very feisty girl who's not always in sync with reality. And it's a funny book, but it's also a sad book in kind of detailing the challenges to family farms and the many factors that, you know, may make it likely to break up family farms, including one they would have understood in the Middle Ages, which is simply just inheritance problems. You know, how do you pass the farm down to a new generation without destroying them economically?
By the way, the listener who dropped wanted to suggest or recommend an author, John Sanford, who I think he said is not from Wisconsin, but has a cabin in Hayward. And he says Sanford is known for the Prey novels, and his latest is Golden Prey. Oh, here.
Yes, John's a very, very prolific and popular mystery thriller writer.
And I guess we'll go back. Doug called back. And Doug, sorry about that. So what do you like about John Sanford?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. We've got a lightning storm up here in northern Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Joy and Jim. Yeah, I got
good morning.
Connected. Well, you already solved the mystery, and I was going to present it as a mystery because he's probably the most prolific and most read mystery writer in Wisconsin. And although not born here, he probably spends more time in actuality and in his writing as Wilder. And Jim seems very familiar with him. Well, the number one draw for John Sanford, or John Camp, his actual name, is the scene he uses for his writing. And I think that, in part at least, is why he's so popular. He writes about the Lucas Davenport and Detective Flowers, who functions in southern Minnesota. And it's the setting and the familiarity with his landmarks and personalities, and he just pulls you in. And of course, he's been at least on the New York Times number one best just countless times. And I believe he's up to Golden Prey, I believe, would be his 34th mystery novel.
Very prolific. Thank you very much, Doug, and stay safe with that lightning storm going on. I'm moving on because we have many calls now and only a couple of minutes to go. Paul in Schulzburg is with us. Hi, Paul.
Good morning, Joy.
Yes, who do you recommend?
I got two authors I like. One is Victoria Houston, that writes murder mysteries, and it's all about fishing is involved, fly fishing. And she's up, I think she lives in Rhinelander. And Jerry Apps, who you may be familiar with, because he's a UW Extension guy that was.
Some of the most popular radio shows, too. He's, again, a frequent Larry Mueller guest, and he writes a lot about rural life and farms and all sorts of things.
Yes, very, very interesting. Yeah. So, anyway, that's my contribution.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I don't know about Victoria Houston, but murder mysteries in the Rhinelander area that involve fishing. Sounds good.
Lori's... Victoria's mysteries are referred to as the Loon Lake series, and your library or bookstore would know what they are. So she's a popular writer.
Great. So we have just a minute to go. You also have, and we won't be able to go to all of them, you have 10 other books worth noting. You want to mention one of them?
Sure. I'd mention Nicholas Butler's Shotgun Love Songs. Nick is a youngish Eau Claire novelist, and when I started this book in 2015, he was someone I thought, you know, if he might be in it someday, and his new novel, The Hearts of Men, just came out, and if I was starting from scratch today, he'd probably be in here. He's a very empathetic writer about rural life today and a different take than Michael Perry has, and he's a writer I'd highly recommend.
Thank you so much for being with us. Jim Higgins is the Assistant Entertainment Editor at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and author of Wisconsin Literary Luminaries. This is the Ideas Network.